The Truth News Network. Mainstream news, for the most part, cannot be trusted. Want the truth?
And nothing but the truth?
It's here every day at the Truth News Network. Here with today's truths is Dan Newman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TNN, the Truth News Network, today. We're going to revisit a topic we've touched on several times in previous audio podcasts, but we haven't talked about it in a while. A refugee crisis is real. Several years ago, I spent several months on business in Switzerland, Germany, Austria, Northern Italy, with a short stop in Southeast Asia. I've not been much of a world traveler through the years, so much of the differences of culture in Europe and Malaysia impacted me, at least initially, the way one would expect. But what was common among all those countries was the way European and Malaysian natives viewed immigrants, especially refugee immigrants from the Middle East and Northern Africa, who are primarily Muslim. I know, discussing religious issues, especially regarding Muslims, is a faux pas, and journalists should not do that. But it's time for us to become objective, honest, and serious about all things dealing with immigration, especially illegal immigration. We're going to talk about now the American refugee crisis. Do we have an illegal immigration crisis in the U.S.? Depends on who you ask. First, it is important to remember during this conversation that the U.S. annually allows more legal immigrants into our country than do all other countries in the world combined. That number is 1 million approximately per year. Illegal immigration is a totally separate matter. Hopefully in 2019, Congress will legitimately and honestly tackle outdated and obsolete immigration laws. It's imperative that this South and Central American refugee immigration flood to the southern border of the U.S. be addressed. In spite of promise after promise from politicians from every political party to fix immigration laws, nothing has been done. When asked why an immigration House bill would not be considered in the Senate, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat of New York, explained it by saying this: "We cannot allow Republicans or President Trump to win on any legislation regarding immigration." Congress's inaction on the matter so far can be blamed on at least one party's identity politics and its elitist political agenda. That agenda has nothing at all to do with illegal immigrants and what's best for them or what's best for the United States. It's partisan rather than humanitarian. Who can forget the back and forth during the first year of the Trump administration when Congress was supposedly poised to consider the southern border illegal immigration crisis? The fake news pictures, remember that? Showing illegal immigrant children being held in cages were passed around among different news outlets to whip up the emotions of Americans to hopefully result in an open border policy being implemented. Later, it was revealed those pictures of caged children were not taken during this presidency, but were taken during Obama's tenure in office. We've written extensively here about the critical nature of restructuring our immigration system and the necessity to craft new laws and or amend old laws to end the horrors experienced by those immigrants in getting to the U.S. and their ill effects. Those effects impact every sector of America, including economics, education, medical, social, and labor. Not making corrections in immigration law is no different than not tackling problems in any other area of public life. Congress should recognize the problem, devise a fix, implement the fix, and make sure it works, or we'll be watching the beginning of a slide of the U.S. backward. I guarantee that. Is this a cowardly or fear-driven concern? Absolutely not. While it is true that the United States is the wealthiest, strongest, and most powerful nation on earth, the U.S. does not have unlimited resources that are necessary to perpetuate the flow of illegal immigrants into the U.S., allowing it to continue as is, puts us on the path towards certain destruction. For some European countries, and a couple of countries in Southeast Asia, their citizens are standing watch as immigration, primarily from North African and Middle Eastern countries, are tearing their countries in Europe apart. Under Angela Merkel, under her watch, her country, Germany, has welcomed more than 1 million immigrants on the basis of real humanitarian crisis. Most of those who have come to Germany are Muslim, and most of those have refused, absolutely refused, to assimilate into German culture in any meaningful way. That has created mountains of problems in the national sectors mentioned above. The German medical community is really, really struggling. Recently, a German doctor wrote a letter explaining what medical professionals and others in Germany are experiencing. It's scary at best. And when we come back, I've got that entire letter from that German doctor for you. It's going to blow your mind. Sit tight. That's next at the Truth News Network.
Long live the courageous, the tenacious, the ones who push forward and give back. Long live the greater good, the helping hand, those who fall and get back up. And long live the truck with the strength to overcome. The will to outwork. And the commitment to outlast them all. Ram, proven to last.
Don't ever miss a story or podcast. Get an email link to every news story and podcast by entering your email address on the homepage of truthnewsnet.org. If it's relevant, you'll get it here.
Back to our story today about immigration and some of the problems that immigration, legal and illegal, are causing overseas. A letter from a German doctor. I'm going to read it for you. Yesterday at the hospital, we had a meeting about how the situation here and at the other Munich hospitals are unsustainable. Clinics cannot handle the number of migrant medical emergencies, so they are starting to send everything to the main hospitals. Many Muslims are refusing treatment by female staff, and we women are now refusing to go among those migrants. Relations between the staff and migrants are going from bad to worse. Since last weekend, migrants going to the hospitals must be accompanied by police with canine units. Many migrants have AIDS, syphilis, open TB, and many exotic diseases that we in Europe do not know how to treat. If they receive a prescription to the pharmacy, they suddenly learn they have to pay cash. This leads to unbelievable outbursts, especially when it is about drugs for the children. They abandon the children with pharmacy staff with the words, "So cure them here yourselves." So the police are not just guarding the clinics and hospitals, but also the large pharmacies. We ask openly, where are all those who welcome the migrants in front of TV cameras with signs at train stations? Yes, for now, the border has been closed, but 1 million of them are already here, and we will definitely not be able to get rid of them. Until now, the number of unemployed in Germany was 2.2 million. Now, it will be at least 3.5 million. Most of these people are completely unemployable. Only a small minimum of them have any education. What is more, their women usually do not work at all. I estimate that 1 in 10 is pregnant. Hundreds of thousands of them have brought along infants and little kids under 6, many emaciated and very needy. If this continues and Germany reopens its borders, I am going home to the Czech Republic. Nobody can keep me here in this situation, not even for double the salary back home. I came to Germany to work, not to Africa or the Middle East. Even the professor who heads our department told us how sad it makes him to see the cleaning woman who has cleaned every day for years for 800 euros and then meets crowds of young men in the hallways who just wait with their hands outstretched wanting everything for free, and when they don't get it, they throw a fit. I really don't need this, but I am afraid that if I return home at some point, it will be the same in the Czech Republic. If the Germans with their systems cannot handle this, then guaranteed, back home will be total chaos. You, who have not come in contact with these people, have absolutely no idea what kind of badly behaved desperados these people are, and how Muslims act superior to our staff regarding their religious accommodation. For now, the local hospital staff has not come down with the diseases these people brought here, but with so many hundreds of patients every day, this is just a question of time. In a hospital near the Rhine, migrants attacked the staff with knives after they had handed over an eight-month-old on the brink of death, who they dragged across half of Europe for 3 months. The child died 2 days later, despite having received top care at one of the best pediatric clinics in Germany. The pediatric physician had to undergo surgery, and the two nurses are recovering in the ICU. Nobody has been punished. The local press is forbidden to write about it, so we can only inform you through email. What would have happened to a German if he had stabbed a doctor and nurses with a knife? Or if he had flung his own syphilis-infected urine into a nurse's face and so threatened her with infection? At a minimum, he would have gone straight to jail and later to court. With these people so far, nothing has happened. And so I ask, where are all those greeters and receivers from the train stations, sitting pretty at home, enjoying their uncomplicated, safe lives? If it were up to me, I would round up all those greeters and bring them here first to our hospital's emergency ward as attendants. Then they'd go into one of the buildings housing the migrants so they can really look after them there themselves, without armed police and police dogs, who sadly today are in every hospital here in Bavaria. That letter was written by a female German doctor, actually a Czech Republic doctor that had moved to Germany to practice medicine, regarding the onslaught of Muslim immigration into Germany from Northern Africa primarily, but some from the Middle East. In summary today, let me set the record straight. I am not anti-Muslim. I am not Islamophobic. I am for legal immigration. So what's wrong with this German immigration issue? German political leaders did not think through what such a flood of immigrants would do to its thriving infrastructure. Think about it. Planning for certainties is one thing, but planning for uncertainties is even more important. Germany's leadership in error assumed that North African and Middle Eastern immigrants would be much like Germany's own citizens, would have the same or similar work ethic, social culture, desire to assimilate with others, respect for authority and the rights of others, etc. How wrong they were. Germany's immigration crisis began 2 years ago and remains unsolved to this day. The conditions for German citizens remains just as dangerous and dire as they were when the above letter was written. Angela Merkel has been unable to initiate an effective process to handle this crisis. She, in her own country, is under siege politically. It is destroying Germany's social, financial, medical, and political systems. So you're listening to me, and probably some of you are asking this: how is that different from U.S. immigration? Well, there are those that will say the big difference is that most of those flooding into the U.S. through our southern border are not Muslim, like most of those immigrants in Germany are. And you know what? That's true. Some say most coming to the U.S. are looking for work as compared to those entering Germany who are not. That's true too. Many immigration pundits claim over and over on national television that immigrants bring far more money into the U.S. than they spend of taxpayer dollars. That is not true. In fact, according to the Nonpartisan Immigration Council, the average household headed by an immigrant, legal or illegal, cost taxpayers $6,234 in federal welfare benefits, which is 41% higher than the $4,431 received by the average native household. The average immigrant household consumes 33% more cash welfare, 57% more food assistance, and 44% more Medicaid dollars than the average native household. Housing costs are about the same for both groups. At $8,251, households headed by immigrants from Central America and Mexico have the highest welfare cost of any sending region, 86% higher than the cost of native households. Illegal immigrant households cost an average of $5,692, driven largely by the presence of U.S.-born children, while legal immigrant households cost $6,378. The greater consumption of welfare dollars by immigrants can be explained in large part by their lower level of education and larger number of children compared to natives. Over 24% of immigrant households are headed by a high school dropout, compared to just 8% of native households. In addition, 13% of immigrant households have three or more children versus just 6% of native household. So what's the real problem? Here's a story that illustrates the immigration dilemma now faced by every American. You got to picture this thing. Put this story in context of what we're visiting about today. A miner, a gold miner, operates a secret gold mine out in the country next to a really shallow river. The only way he can transport the gold that he mines to market is on that river. Everything goes well for a few months. But one day, as he rows his heavily loaded boat up the river to market, he sees water pouring into the boat from below. There are holes in the boat. The boat takes on water at an amazing rate and bogs down on the bottom of the shallow river. He cannot get his gold to market that day. The next day, the miner tries again. This time, he does not even get as far up the river as the day before. Holes in the boat quickly fill it with water, and it bogs down again. The miner secretly tells his friend about his mine and how successful he's been at finding gold. He explains to his friend what has happened to the boat and that holes in the boat have kept him from getting that gold to market. His friend commits to join the miner the next day so the pair can work together to get that gold to the market to sell. They did their best the next day, but they could not get the boat up the river to market. They tried the same thing over and over again, but after no success, the miner was forced to shut down and board up the mine and walk away, even knowing just how much gold there was in that mine. The miner then had to apply for financial assistance because he had no form of income. When he explained what had happened in his mining operation to the assistance agent, the agent asked him, "Why could you, working together with your friend, not figure out a way to get the boat up the river to market?" The miner replied, "We tried again and again to get all the water out of the river so it would stop making the boat run aground. But even though we dipped and poured water out of the river as fast as we could, the river kept filling the boat up. We couldn't stop the water." In conclusion, you know, that story may sound a little bit trite, but it gives a true picture of the immigration issue the U.S. is facing today. The boat obviously represents the U.S. The gold represents the goods and services the U.S. produces for its internal purposes and usage, as well as transporting to market. The market, of course, is the rest of the world. Those goods and services are sold for money to fund our internal and external operations for the good of the American people. In this case, the water or the illegal immigrants that flood into our boat through holes in the boat. Instead of plugging the holes, because Congress won't do anything, we continue to deal with the water in the river instead of making certain not too much of it gets into the boat. When that happens, the boat can't go to market. We can't process our goods and services. We can't sell them overseas. And before long, we're out of work. This really is simple, folks. We don't have a Muslim problem. We don't have a Mexican problem. We don't have a Central or South American problem. And we don't have a legal immigration problem. We have far too much water in the boat that we're not prepared to handle, and we don't have a plan to handle it. That water, the flood of illegal immigrants, is running our boat aground, and we keep trying the same thing day after day after day. It's time we stop simply bailing water out of the boat. We got to plug the holes. I hope this shed a little light on your day. And I am so thankful that you joined us for this chapter at the Truth News Network. We appreciate you being here. We appreciate your input and your support. Thanks so much. You have a great day. We'll be back at the Truth News Network.
Not just political, not just lifestyle, but always relevant.
Real truth, real news. TNN, the Truth News Network.